you realize or you just feel older. I know some of our parents who have seniors or maybe parents whose freshmen have just come back from their first year of college may feel that way. And yesterday morning, my baby sister, she's the baby by 8 years, called me and she said, Corey, I have a question for you. And I said, okay. She said, do you think sometime you'd be willing to come back up to Huntsville and do another wedding ceremony? And I went, please don't do this to me. And she said, well, when she told my brother, he said, boy, I feel a whole lot older than I did 2 minutes ago. This has been a neat weekend because of our senior banquet. And tonight, here in just a little bit, we're going to honor the seniors that we have with us tonight. And tonight I want to take a little bit of time to share with you some thoughts that seniors, this is as much directed to you as to anyone. And I hope that each of us will listen to God's word and hopefully gain from it something that we can take with us as we go from day to day. The story is told of an old Jewish rabbi who walked into a classroom of kindergarten age students, their first year at school, and he walks in carrying a big box, sets it on the desk, and he reaches out and he has brand new copies of the Torah, the Jewish Bible. And he goes around and he passes a Torah out to every single one of these kindergarten kids. And their eyes are just lit up because this is the rabbi. This is like one of the most respected men in the entire school. And here I am holding my own copy of the Bible. And when he gets done passing out the Torahs, he goes and he gets little squares of wax paper and a little honey bear. And he goes around and he puts a little square of wax paper on the top of each child's Torah, and he puts a little drop of honey on each square of wax paper. And once he goes all the way around the room, he comes to the front of the class and he says, I want you to take your little finger and dip it into that honey. And I want you to taste it. And then he watched as every child dipped their finger and tasted it. And some of them kind of smile because they love the taste of honey. And then he says in this booming authoritative voice, he said, don't ever forget that is what God tastes like. The image of honey is one that throughout the scriptures is used several times to paint a picture of the goodness of God and of His Word. Psalm 19:10 tells us that the judgments of the Lord are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings from the honeycomb. Psalm 119, verse 103, declares, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. But there's one usage of this picture that I stumbled on a couple of years ago that has come to mean a great deal to me. And I'd like to share that with you tonight. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 81. Psalm 81, and we're going to begin reading in verse 11. We find that the psalmist writes, but my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart, to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to Him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. What do you think God means when He says, I will give you honey from the rock? I think to understand this figure, we need to take a moment to discuss the rock. The image of the rock is one that's probably more prevalent in Scripture than honey. And most of the time, you would probably see it used as a glorious reference to the strength and solidity of God as our foundation and our fortress. But sometimes, that rock is not a pleasant presence in our lives. Sometimes the rock is a stone of stumbling that blocks our path as we walk from day to day. And these stones that are in our path are struggles and painful events that take place in all throughout our lives. Sometimes they're small pebbles that kind of get in your shoe and they bruise your toe and maybe trip you up a little bit. And they're just annoying, really. Maybe a nagging habit, a small broken promise, or the ever-popular white lie. Occasionally we encounter medium-sized rocks that prove to be a little more of an obstacle for us to overcome. Perhaps a broken relationship. Or even a business deal gone bad. But then there are the giant boulders that come crashing down into the middle of our path and can drive us completely off course. A divorce, a rebellious child, or a death. And these can sometimes take years to recover from. And will most likely leave a permanent mark upon us in some way or another. And these rocks are usually anything but pleasant. And if big enough, they can lead people to become lost and confused in their walk with God. And they're looking for anything to give them security and comfort. But notice what God says in Psalm 81 verse 16. And with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. Sometimes God must meet us at our lowest points, at the icons of our pain, in order for us to taste His goodness. Out of these struggles, God provides for us a sweetness that makes them all worthwhile, if we will only trust Him to provide that for us. And so for the time that we have left, I want to share with you two rocks that you will encounter in life and the potential honey that God has waiting for you within those rocks. The first of which is external attacks. Recently, one of our teens was telling me of an encounter she had in class with a relative stranger. They had a little bit of free time, and the girl sitting in the seat next to her turned and said, "What religion are you?" And our teenager responded, "Well, I'm a Christian." "I thought so. I'm an atheist." And she said it with this tone of, "What are you going to do about that?" And this girl, one of our teens, was just blindsided and had nowhere to go. Because this came completely out of the blue. Unprovoked confrontation about faith. Last year, another one of our teenagers was telling me that in a class on world religions, there was an open class discussion concerning some of the different religions that people adhere to in that class. And when the teacher found out that she was a member of the Church of Christ, he proceeded to inform the rest of the classroom about the unkind, cultic atmosphere that we have within our fellowship. And she was left with no opportunity to defend herself. Undoubtedly, there are numerous stories that we can all share about our school or work environments that have resulted in our need to defend some portion of our faith. And we must always remember that while most people are tolerant or have a tolerance for what we believe, there are those in this world who have made it their goal to tear it down. Their mission is to instill doubt in us about what we believe and why we live the way that we live. And oftentimes these external attacks can blindside us. We have no idea that they're coming until they hit us between the eyes. But God has said, I will give you honey from the rock. And that honey is knowledge. You see, the first time your faith is truly questioned, it can be a rather dreadful event, especially if you are not looking for it to take place. Someone raises an objection to God and you feel like a deer in the headlights with nowhere to go. But you engage in the conversation anyways. Will you say some things that are wrong? Perhaps. But now you are forced to open up God's Word and to study the question more thoroughly, to come to a better understanding of what God has said about the issue. And as these attacks ensue, you will learn what to say and how to say it. You will be able to defend your faith the more you have to do it. And such knowledge and confidence, though, will not come from your own wit and wisdom, but it will come from the wisdom of God. He assured Moses in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, "Who has made man's mouth? Now go, and I will be your mouth, and I will teach you what you are to say." Jesus said to his disciples as he comforted them before his departure in John 14, 26, he said that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. If God guided these men in knowing what they were to say when they were attacked, why would he not do the same for us? So when the external attacks become a rock in your path, look for God's honey in the knowledge that you gain from being challenged in your faith. But external attacks are something that can somewhat be controlled from time to time, depending upon what circumstances you put yourself in. But sometimes the rocks in our paths cannot be controlled. This is the rock of inevitable pain. Death, separation, and loss. All of these are a part of the human experience and the human condition as a result of sin being in our lives. And you will realize that such loss typically comes like a bad paper cut. Something you don't want, and it comes at the worst possible time. To give you an example, I recently heard a story of two sports columnists for a pretty large paper, who were at a Major League Baseball game covering the game. And as they were sitting there watching and taking their notes, one of them, his cell phone rang. And he picked it up and he starts talking to the editor of the newspaper that he worked for. And the guy said, "I'm sorry to tell you this while you're at the game, but we have to lay you off. By the way, is so-and-so there?" "Yeah, he's right beside me. Let me talk to him real quick." And so he passes the cell phone to his partner. And he gets to hear the exact same message. "I'm sorry to tell you this while you're at the ball game, but we're going to have to lay you off." Now you talk about being blindsided by uncontrollable events. And sometimes we get hit with these rocks only to find out that our coping mechanisms don't work. We don't know how to deal with them. And we begin to ask questions like, "Why, God?" Only to find out, or only to realize, that he's not going to give us the answer in the way that we want him to give us the answer. And we feel a lot like David, as he says in Psalm 6:6. "I am weary with my sighing, Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. But God has said, I will give you honey from the rock. Through the rock of inevitable pain, we realize that although difficult and perhaps drawn out, it is temporary. Psalm 35, 30 verse 5 tells us, weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. In the desert of loss, we begin to understand that God is the one who truly supplies our needs, whether physical or spiritual. And suddenly one day we wake up and realize that certain passages we overlooked in our times of peace and plenty suddenly have a much greater amount of meaning and provide for us a greater amount of comfort than we ever thought. Give us this day our daily bread. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. When you encounter the rock of inevitable pain, God will provide you honey of knowing the peace that He gives in all situations of life. The reality of life is that as you walk down the path toward your eternal home with God, you will have rocks in your path that you must deal with. Some of them will be small and relatively easy to handle, but some will be so large that they threaten to throw you completely off course. And you can respond in one of two ways. You can turn your back completely on God, and you can begin to rely simply upon what you see and what you know and what you can touch and what you think you can accomplish. Or you can return to His Word for answers. Are you trying to deal with the rock on your own? Has your walk encountered an obstacle that you just don't quite know what to do with? Then let God deal with it. If that obstacle is the weight of sin on your back, don't carry it any longer. Let God take the load off and give you the honey of grace and forgiveness that He has waiting for you if you will put your trust in Him. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would satisfy you with honey from the rock. Let's stand and sing.